to episode 2 of the PE Geek podcast. And before we get started, I must wholeheartedly thank you for tuning in to episode 1. It was certainly very inspiring to see that there were people actually interested in listening to a podcast related to physical education and technology. And in the first 24 hours, we had received about 1,000 plays, and currently we're sitting at just over 2,000 playbacks. So definitely making it seem as though it's going to be something that we continue to do and do regularly, so that you guys can get some enjoyment from the podcast and hopefully lots of ideas. So I think the really good thing about podcasts are that they are passive, and it means that you can sort of consume them without sort of having to actively read through a blog post on your screen. And it's probably, yeah, a really easy way to get content. And I certainly thank those people that have listened to them, which is yourselves. And I also thank the people that have emailed me and let me know that this method is preferable to or complementary to the blog post. And that's exactly what I hope it is. So if you can do one thing for me, that is, if you can share the blog or share the podcast with one person this week, then we can hope that maybe we get even more people listening, and that's fantastic. If at any stage you want to leave a review on iTunes, I'd be forever grateful, and you can do that by going to thepegeek.com/iTunes, and those reviews certainly help to keep me motivated to continue. Now, as we move into the second episode, I think it's pretty important that we try and follow a consistent pattern with the episodes. And occasionally these will change. But last week we looked at a product that I was pretty excited by, and then we went into a couple of things that you can do in your classroom, and finally finished with someone that I was impressed with in recent weeks. So this week we're going to follow that same method, and the product that I'm very, very excited about, and if you've been following me on social media, you'll notice it, is called the Polar FT7 Heart Rate Monitor. Now, this heart rate monitor is absolutely awesome, and you know, if you've ever been or ever used heart rate monitors in your PE classroom before, then this is certainly the one that you want to try and replace it with when it comes time to actually upgrade. The good thing about this heart rate monitor is that it actually is Bluetooth enabled. So what that means is you can use your iPad and connect it to your iPad or your iPhone or whatever it is, iDevice that you currently have. And wirelessly, you're going to be able to track your heart rate very, very accurately. In fact, as accurate as you would with a traditional watch. So the FT7 is your standard Polar heart rate monitor, chest strap. Okay, so place it, put it on, and then pair it to your device, and then you're able to follow your heart rate on a compatible device. And that's really, really awesome. Like, it's so powerful to actually look at it in such a context that is even more advanced as the traditional watches were. So, you know, if you get an app like, let's say, Runkeeper, and you pair the heart rate monitor with that, essentially when you go for a run, you've got a combined GPS heart rate monitor, you know, really, really incredible data that you can sort of pull down from that and use for all sorts of things. You know, if it's senior physical education, you know, you're talking about energy systems and recovery modes and all that sort of stuff. And if it's younger kids, then you can use it to explore the heart rate and how these things apply to good health. So it's wide open in terms of its uses. Myself personally, we've used them recently in our senior PE to explore a lot of physiological concepts. And the good thing is they're really affordable. And I often speak with teachers who have invested substantial funds in heart rate monitors, only really to have them not work as well as they'd like. Because, you know, big groups, you've got lots of likely chances that there will be crosstalk between the heart rate monitors, and you get inaccurate readings, and the kids can't get them to work. And this is sort of something that's not going to happen with the FT7 units because they use Bluetooth, and that's fantastic. So for about $70, you can pick up a Polar FT7 heart rate monitor, and the job's done effectively. Like, you go and connect it to your device and you go from there. I'm really, really excited by an application that Polar themselves have released, and the application is called Polar Team, and it enables you to connect up to 40 heart rate monitors. So buy 40 of those FT7s and you can connect them to one iPad and track 40 people's heart rates live and in a range of 60 meters. So, you know, this is incredible technology, mind-blowing really, to think about. You know, you need one iPad, 40 devices, obviously, to make it work completely, but it really is incredible what you can do. Ourselves personally, our school has just gone out and purchased 10 of them, FT7s, and you can get them at thepegeek.com/polar. And with the 10 that we have, we've now got the ability to use them individually, hand them out to kids to use with their own devices, or use with the school's devices if they're younger kids. And best yet, we can now pair them with the Polar Team app, and we've got the ability to track 40 students. So next year when we do the activity, we do an acute responses activity on exercise bikes, and all the kids line up, and you know, in the past we've wore heart rate monitors, and the kids have had to check their watches and all that sort of stuff. Now we're going to be able to use one iPad to see at a glance all 10 people that are exercising at that point in time, and it's going to be very easy to get the metrics. So awesome. When paired with a variety of apps, it's definitely incredible. So that's the product that I recommend going and exploring, even if it's only for your own personal health and well-being. But in a classroom context, they're remarkable. Now, as always, there are so many new tools coming out all the time, and there's never a shortage of new things to try in your classroom or that help support something that you are doing in your classroom. And the three things I'm going to share with you today are definitely proof of that. And even though they're not really new to the digital world and the PE Geek landscape, they are tools that probably just go and get the job done and do it with a little bit of minimal fuss, and probably haven't been as celebrated as a lot of other tools that tend to get used. So the first tool that I use really regularly is an application that runs on the iPad and the iPhone, and it's called VDownload Plus. Now, one of the big concerns that teachers have when I work with them is about unreliable wireless access. And they often say, you know, I'd love to show YouTube videos to my students in class, but I can't rely on the wireless access. And this app actually makes it possible for you to cache and locally store a video so that you can play it back even if you don't have internet access. Now, educationally speaking, this is really awesome. So it means that if you're outside and you're nowhere near your wireless service, you're still going to be able to showcase the instructional video or the content or whatever it was that you're going to share with your students. So works really easily. Basically, you launch the app and it takes you straight to YouTube, and essentially you search for your video like you normally would. And when you click the button to play the video, it takes you to the video and starts playing it. And however, a little button will appear and it will say save to memory, and you click that and there it is. It's now available on your device for you to play back as you need it. So really, really useful tool. Has solved so many problems for teachers, like I mentioned before, that don't have access or reliable access. And it's also something that I use myself to just be certain that I'm going to have the video that I need. So whenever I run a workshop, the videos that I show to the people there are stored on my iPad just to be sure that even if the internet gods aren't favoring us, we're able to move on. So yeah, definitely something worth checking out. Now, the other tool that I'm interested in sharing with you is something that I spent a little bit of time developing in the last 6 months, and it is called Balance It. Now, Balance It is a iPhone, Android, iPad app, and it is a collection of static balances. Now, if you think about human pyramids, then you pretty much got it right. So static balances, everything from individual balances, two-person balances, three-person balances, all the way up to group balances of up to 12, I think the biggest one is. Anyway, the basic idea is that the students place the app down and complete the balance, working as a team, see how they compare with the diagram that's been drawn, and then they swipe the screen and move on to the next balance. Now, from all the pictures and all the feedback that I've been getting, the students have absolutely engaged in this activity wholeheartedly, and I definitely designed it based on an activity that I used to do with playing pictures. Now, because of the fact that not everyone has access to mobile devices in their school, I have since released it as an ebook. Now, the ebook can be be downloaded at thepeergeek.com/balanceit. And at that stage, yeah, you can get the ebook and do the same activity with the same outcomes, same engagement, however, just with paper. Obviously, it's likely to get crunkled, crunched up by the students, which is what it used to with me. However, it's still really, really good. So go and check out Balance It. It's definitely worth doing. And I think the biggest outcomes of the activity is sort of the task card approach, in that students are very much individualizing their instruction by all doing different tasks, and at the same time, they're having to interpret what those tasks mean and complete them. So you'll see a really high level of engagement using Balance It. And if you do happen to go down the app route, you don't have to have an iPad for every device or a tablet device for every single kid. Simply connect the tablet to a large screen, and you can share the pictures, in one foul movement to the rest of the group. But obviously that limits the ability for students to work at their own pace. However, it still works really well, and I've seen that used in quite a few examples so far. And the final tool that I want to share with you is one that I don't know why, but I keep really forgetting it exists, to be honest. It's called 3-Ring. Now, 3-Ring is exceptional, and for many, many years, people have grappled with the idea of doing portfolios and being able to capture video and capture images and compile them in a way that actually benefits the student learning process. And for many years, we've known that this has been a really valuable thing, creating a portfolio, but it was so difficult to actually do it that it often got in the way of the learning, and soon was something that sort of died off. Now, in the past, I've used everything from Google Drive, which has been successful as a portfolio tool. I even brought out my own portfolio app called Easy Portfolio, which is definitely been really successful, and I really enjoy. But the reason I really, really like 3-Ring as a tool for portfolio development is that not only is it really easy to set up, but it enables automatic sharing to parents if you decide to go down that line. So basically the 3-Ring app works that a teacher would sign up for a free account at 3ring.com, create their classes and add their students to those classes, and essentially whenever they have a practical activity or whenever they're in the classroom context, you pick the student that you want to attach your record to, or the groups of students. You can pick more than one. Pick the type of media that you would like to attach to their portfolio, and with inside the app, you can shoot it. And immediately that content is then uploaded to the cloud, the 3-Ring website, where you can log in, sort by student, look at the activities that you've uploaded, and get a really good idea of how their learning has progressed. So 3-Ring is awesome. I absolutely encourage that rather than the teacher being the one to capture the content, that you get students involved in that process. And I think that's good in many ways, because you're not then locked into spending your entire session looking at your device, trying to control an app, and then obviously you haven't got your eyes on the group. But yeah, if you give it to the students and then have them involved in capturing the content and uploading it and curating their own portfolio, it becomes all the more valuable. And it's certainly something that I've been using in a practical context for the last almost a year now. This will be the second semester that I've been using 3-Ring with, and I use it in my practical classes. And just recently, or last week, the students were engaged in completing a game of badminton. And what that basically meant was that they were busy involved in the game, and I had students who were also working as umpires for when they weren't participating. So the students were involved in that process. And then there was also someone who was floating around taking photos and videos of particular things that we were trying to learn throughout our session. And what that meant for me was I was able to continue teaching, continue managing the group, continue all those things that you would do in a classroom. However, at the end of the session, I was able to log on to 3-Ring, click on a particular student, and see how their skills were executed and any of the other stuff that we were focusing on. And for us, the big focus was on teamwork and cooperation. So, you know, at a glance, I was able to see and record these things. And then I know that through continuing this process, looking back at it will be tremendously powerful. And I know that the last lot of reports that I wrote, where I had 3-Ring beside me, were so much better because I was able to see everything, not everything they'd done, but a fair percentage of things that had taken place throughout the course of the semester. And it made my observations all the more valuable. And the students, yeah, absolutely like to see their own progress through the semester as well. So go and check it out. It is free. You know, you can maybe trial it out with one class. You don't have to go out there and do it with every single class. Compare that with maybe a method that you're doing at the moment, and I guarantee you that this method will be easier. It'll be engaging in the fact that you're capturing video and audio and all those sorts of things as well, and it's going to benefit any sort of assessment that you use following the capturing of content. So 3-Ring is awesome, and I think it's only set to continue with the development that they're putting into the application. Now that pretty much brings us to the end of episode 2 of the podcast. However, before we go, all this talk about portfolios has got me thinking about a teacher who has been investing tremendous amounts of time into generating discussion about portfolios in the PE context. And I'm talking of no other than Blake Campen, a PE teacher in Australia, and in Western Australia, in fact. And he has created really well a community, or got the conversation started surrounding portfolios and bringing together a lot of people who have had heaps of success using them in the classroom. And the really interesting thing about it is everyone has brought along different ways that they've achieved it, different strategies that they've used to make them successful, and different challenges that they've faced. So if you're interested in going down the line of creating a portfolio in your classroom, then get in touch with Blake, and he will certainly be able to put you in the right direction. You know, I know a number of people are using Evernote. Blake's a big champion of that. And there's others using Google Drive, and 3-Ring is an option as well. And it's exciting. And I think the biggest thing that's come out of this discussion is that there really is no perfect method. There really is people doing a variety of stuff, whether it's got paper, you know, whether it's not even something to using technology. You know, the best conversations are those around, well, why are actually portfolios beneficial to student learning? And Blake's definitely championing that. So well done, Blake. Keep up the effort, and I certainly hope to be part of those conversations as time goes on. So that is pretty much the end now. And like I said before, thanks for listening. I'm not going to continue to record podcasts if there aren't people at the other end listening to them. So you guys are the reason that they get made. And I certainly hope that you find them as enjoyable as I do to record. And I certainly hope, more importantly, that you can get a few ideas each episode that you can put into practice straight away, or even, I'd be very happy if maybe you don't agree with the things I've spoke about and they just basically reaffirm the things that you're doing. So, that's important as well. We can't all be doing the same thing, and I'm more than happy to have people who disagree with what I've just talked about. So thanks for coming along, and I encourage you to share this with one person this week. If you can go on board and share the podcast and get more people listening, then that's going to benefit all of us, because there will be an even greater conversation happening around technology and physical education. And I've made it really easy for those people on Twitter by pre-creating a tweet that you can send out. So if you go to the PEgeek.com/live, as in LIVE, and you'll be taken to a screen where you hit the button and it will automatically tweet out a message that I've pre-crafted for you about the podcast. However, if you're in the lunchroom, mention it to a colleague or send an email to someone, and let's get as many people as we can listening. Lastly, if you'd like to be featured on an episode, then you can do so really easily by going to the PEgeek.com/voicemail. And at this page, you can leave up to a 90-second recording. And I encourage you to think of a question, anything. Get me really thinking about a particular tool or problem that you might be encountering, or the best way to go about a certain situation involving technology in your classroom. And I'll feature those questions in upcoming episodes. So, yeah, go and try and stump me. I challenge you to do that. So, again, thanks for listening, and I look forward to seeing you all in episode number 3.